one of the big mistakes we make in our daily lives is that we misunderstand what this is really all about. And you have an individual that's trying to get to a certain destination, but is not willing to take the first step. And the problem with that is that we get in situations where we no longer see a vision. And the vision is an interesting factor because a lot of people think they have visions, but it's one thing to feel like you gotta get somewhere. It's another thing to actually getting there. It's another thing to actually believing that no matter what happens, regardless of the situation, regardless of your current state, you will make it to exactly where you need to make it to. And so now what we want to understand is, how do I get to where I want to get to? Well, the first question I'll ask you is, why? And I've read a lot, and there's something called your why. And when we think of our whys, we really think of a reason that's motivating us, a reason that's keeping us going. What is the reason that's keeping you going? And you see, when we talk about the family line, we see that our mothers, their why is to do with their children. When most mothers see their children, they say, I gotta keep going. I gotta keep going because my children depend on me. Well, what do you have in your basket that can keep you going? Well, it's getting harder and harder through generations for people to have whys, because now everybody's a victim. And if everybody's a victim, we don't see a purpose in anything anymore. And if we don't see a purpose in anything anymore, then the average person just wants to be loved by everybody. He or she just wants to be accepted. No longer shall I chase, or I won't even use chase as a word, no longer should I pursue a vision, but I shall just live a life where people accept me and appreciate me for whatever I do, or whatever I am, and whoever I think I am. And this is a misconception we get a lot, is because we think that if we bring ourselves up to people and present to them this version we call the better version of me, that these people will say, wow, I like you very much. But one thing that I have to realize is, as humans, we are very selfish. And usually we speak of selfishness, negative nature, but that's not always true. There is an interesting prospect of selfishness where, if you really, really think about it, We all do this. We think of the value that somebody brings to our life before we associate ourselves with that very body, that very person. Before we associate ourselves with a very person, we think of the value they bring forth in our life. And so if you are not a person of value and you're expecting for people to value you, well, you're lying to yourself. Just me being whoever I think I am, not good enough for people to value me. It's not. I must be contributing something to the society. I must. And that's the funny bit there. The funny bit is that most of us don't think we need to contribute anything, but we do. We must bring forth more to the plate than what we thought it was. And so then somebody might come in and say, all right, Joe, I'm having an issue, but I just want to be, and they will just conclude it. They'll conclude the whole statement by saying, I just want to become a better person. That's it. I've heard that statement so many times. People will come in and say, I just want to become a better person. And so I really sat there and said, can anybody really become a better person? And so we have these separations in our head where we say, this is my good side and this is my bad side. We say, if I've heard these quotes everywhere. People say, if you can't handle me at my worst, then you can't have my best. And so I really question, what is this worst and best stuff? What really is this worst and best stuff? Because you are a being created in the deep of subconscious. You are a powerful being that you have yet to realize who you are. And this being has a lot of complexity, but also a lot of simplicity. And that's what makes us interesting as human. We are very simple. Also, we are also very complex. Can a single being be simple and also complex? That's always been the real question. The real question is, how do you understand something that is simple and also complex? And so we come in and we say, well, I would like to become a better person. And when you usually come and ask to be a better person, and you say, well, what steps can I take to become a better person? And usually what people say is that they ask for a formula. Well, a formula to becoming a better person, and I always tell people this, the way which can be traveled is not the eternal way. What does that mean? It means that there is no formula to reaching a certain state. Yes, we might talk about it. We might discuss and say, this is what I did, this is what I did. But a true genius really doesn't know how they made it. Well, you can ask anybody that made it in life and made it big, or have done anything big, and that's the interesting factor. The interesting factor is that though they've made it big, they know not of a formula that got them to that situation. And so, what really is that formula? Because some may say that if you can tell me all the steps I must follow, then I'll get to a certain situation. They look for steps that they must follow to get to a certain situation. And that's the problem. The problem is there is no such thing as a formula to reaching a higher state. And still, we're still looking for formulas to reach a higher state. What formula shall I apply to reach a higher state? And that's the question of every day. And so people come in and say, well, I want to become a better person. And they say, this is my worst self, this is my best self. And so they create this interesting divide between their brain and their mind. And it's like when you have inner talks inside of you, you try to define whether the thoughts that are coming in inside your head is from your best self or your worst self. And that's always been the question. Is the words that I'm hearing, is this from God or is this from the devil? Is this what I'm supposed to do, or is this just another lie in my head? And so we've always had these battles trying to figure out, where are we and who are we hearing from? So today we've been looking at a very interesting question. And this is a statement, also a question. It's something we hear every day and we ask every day. And I've had people come up and say, Joe, I don't know where I want to go in life. I don't know where I want to. I don't have a vision. I don't have a destination. I would just like to become a better person because I dislike the state I'm in right now. I don't like where I am in my life. I would just like to become a better person. And so then they ask for a formula. They said, Joe, or so-and-so, or whoever you've asked in your life, and we ask, we say, what can I do to become a better person? And that's the question we're going to target today. Can anything really be done to become a better person? Is there such thing as a formula to becoming a better person? What do you reckon, my brother, for thee?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing, we all make lots of mistakes in life. And if you ever decide to say, oh, how do I become a better person? Everything is to do with you.
Yeah.
It's got to be you
to
become better. Now, it's all, at the end of the day, it's about accepting change.
Yeah.
You see, change is the key factor. If you say, yes, I want to stop doing these things and become this, the moment you say, I want to stop, you've already decided, based on that decision, do it. Nothing else should hold you back. You know, I was in the same stage.
Yeah.
I've asked myself a lot of time, how do I become a better person? You know, first of all, I want to say thanks to you and the guys that I met.
Yeah.
You see, it was a learning process for me. You know, when people say progress is a slow process, it is actually true. You know, when I came here and got a bit of information, you know, man, those information I got, you know, it became knowledge.
And
those knowledge based on the understanding, my friend.
Yeah.
I was able to apply it.
Yeah.
And now the wisdom was just there, man.
That's
so these are the principles, man.
It is.
Life has rules. When you follow them, everything becomes easy.
That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, man. And I've put them into practice, and man, where I was compared to where I am now,
change.
I am growing every day.
That's the way.
Absolutely, there's nothing that's going to stop me.
They can't.
Because the day I got here and I left, I put that into practice to where I am now.
So then, when we ask a question, and we might even use your story as an example, because there's a lot of people that come in and say, I want advice, and we give them advice. I want this change. I want to change this. I want to transform this. I want to do this. And they hear knowledge after knowledge after knowledge after knowledge. What is the difference between those who are going to apply it and those who just hear it but never do anything about it?
Well, you got to put it this way. People do listen.
Yeah.
But most people don't put it into practice. Now, don't just say, I'll do this and get into it and be like, yes, you may be anxious to do it, but it starts slowly.
Slowly.
It's like waking up every morning, getting in the habit of fixing your bed. You never used to, but you're doing it. If you put that into practice, you're out there, you may get a bad day. You're not this. For me now, for the last 2 months, it's unbelievable. I've not come across stress.
No need.
Because there's no need, you know. So when you start to say, okay, I'll be making my bed every morning, you get into that habit, you practice it, you keep doing it.
Yeah.
And you come back to that bed that is made, you know, no matter what's happening out there, you have a comfortable place to relax.
Yeah.
You see that environment. So you start by doing the little things.
Yeah.
Get to do the little
things. So do you feel like sometimes people try to jump straight to the big stuff?
Oh, absolutely. Because once people get information, they just want the result straight away. And then when they fall, how do you go from 0 to 100?
Yeah.
Everything is steps. It's like climbing hallway. You've got steps. You don't just jump from ground right up to the top. No way. You can be a Superman, but you got to, if you jump in 2 stairs at a time, you'll make it. It may take you long, but you practice the jump.
So then, now I'm questioning myself now, because we all do it. And so the question is, if I'm trying to get the results right away, why am I trying to get the results right away? Is it to prove myself or to prove to somebody else?
No, it's because this information that, say, you've been in a place, you've gathered information, you've heard about it. Oh, I've seen this.
Yeah.
I'll be this.
Yeah.
You are. Let's say you are hungry. Like, I'm in the room right now. You know, I'm hungry for success.
Yeah.
I am so hungry. Like, I was so hungry for change until I got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And with that result, what's my next step? I told myself, I will be the most successful person. The most successful person.
Yeah.
I'm not battling anybody, but for myself. If I was to beat anybody, I'm beating myself. I am in competition with myself.
Yeah.
So if you want to get results straight away, battle yourself. Don't do it because of other people. Don't do, oh yeah, I went and I seen this, I listened to this, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah.
Yes, you want the result. You will get the result if you put your mind to it, but you gotta do it from the ground. You know, like, I'll just give you, I was here, I haven't been here for a while.
Yeah.
I remember when I got here, you know, the first day.
Yeah.
Everything, everybody's stories, everybody, you know, I felt like, wow.
Wow.
And then, I've never ever believed in isolating yourself.
Nah, you need everybody.
I never thought these things work.
You need everybody.
But, man, just being in the room for 3 good days without television, without social media.
Yeah.
It was peaceful.
Yeah.
And that was the road that led me to change.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
everything, when I threw away social media, threw away everything around me,
yeah.
I actually got time to myself to really sit down and be like, wow, I've missed out of giving myself a chance, just knowing myself. Because I'm used to every day, you know, chasing, doing this, that, and that.
Yeah.
But if you want a result, like we said, the question was if you want to get the people who want to get result from 0 to 100 without hunger, yes, it will come. You got to know when you're chasing that sort of success,
yeah.
There's a lot of obstacles, but don't worry about it. You can get it if you put your mind to it.
Yeah.
But the best advice I can give,
yeah.
You might need to start. No matter how many times you fail, keep going.
Keep going.
At least you try.
Well, so then we can see that by listening to this and hearing this, we can see that the process is more important than even the results.
Yeah, well, this is life.
Yeah.
Life itself gives you a chance to breathe.
Yeah.
Now, we all came here, we're going to breathe, we're going to live for a time, and we're going to die. Those are all processes we're going to pass through.
Yeah.
So everything else you do is a process. The process might be slow, like I keep saying, but it will give you the right result. I asked myself one day when I was isolating myself, how did these successful people reach millionaires, billionaires?
Yeah.
You know, most of them are in their 60s, 70s.
Yeah.
And then how did they become billionaire when at this old age? Why didn't they use a better platform when they were young? But then there's one thing I realized. 30 years ago, we are in 2020. They didn't have the tools that we have now.
Yes. So it should be even much easier now.
Yeah,
that
it's easier. You know, 30 years ago, they had to do everything backwards.
Yeah.
They've got computers now that are pushing everything.
Yeah.
So I'm not waiting to be 60 to be a billionaire or millionaire.
You don't need
I'll start right now because I'm hungry and I'm going. That's what it is.
And so,
but you have to have that process of going, my man.
And so we see there's a need for hunger. As we were speaking before and saying that there is a lot of us who we listen, we hear. 5 years gone, you're still the same place. You've been hearing, listening. And you're still in the same place.
Yep.
So you see other people and you see other people moving and now you start to compare.
Yep.
You start to say, how come this person is moving?
But
I've been listening.
Yeah. I mean, you have to really, you know, we all humans. And, you know, no matter how long, you know, I've tried to be or get to where I'm going, I'm still failing, at the same time falling. I don't have to give up. Just because Joe is there doesn't mean I have to give up. Keep going. Now, the reason why you keep failing, you know, there's one thing you need to remember. When you are finding things very hard, you're not doing it the right way. So that's just the answer of the result for you failing. If you fail, just keep going, try again. Take a break. How do I do this so I don't fail next? So that person is there and you are here. 5 years ago, both of you were on the same peak. Now they are there and you are here. Why are you still here? That change derives from you. How are you going to beat that person? Your goal shouldn't be even getting to that person. Your goal should be beating that person, because that's where you as a person, 5 years ago, you want that person to be like, oh, I left him behind 5 years ago. But come to 10 years now, he's bigger. So you got to fight that as a person.
So then shall we say that in a sense, though we see other people progressing, is it coming up there? Can you guys hear me now? No? Or is it low? Though we see other people progressing, it's coming out. Though we see other people progressing, sorry. Yeah, the whole thing is recording. Yeah. Well, though we see other people moving forward, the moment we get ourselves tangled with other people's movements, we lose track of where we are.
Yep.
And so that's one of the big prospects of when it comes to progressing and moving forward, is that you only have eyes fixated on your vision.
Yep.
And the moment you take your eyes off your vision and look at somebody else, you've lost track.
Correct.
Of your own road. And so that's the tricky bit there, is how do we select a vision, pick a destination, and keep our eyes on our own destination. We are feeling like we got to leave our destination to go in and look at somebody else, to chase somebody else. And you'll be surprised how many people were so close to changing something in their life, and then they dropped it at the very last moment and said, maybe I should stop doing what I'm doing and go and see what Jack's doing or John's doing. And so when you leave what you're doing and you go and see what John's doing, you realize, wait, what John's doing is not heading towards the way I want to go. And so you have to start again.
Yep.
And so I even have a story. I remember there was a time where I had some family friends, and so one person was coming in. There was a family friend that told another family friend and said, oh, man, you are here at your job doing this. Man, they're not paying enough at your job. They're paying so and so much at my job. Quit your job, come in, I'll help you. Get a job in my company where they'll pay you more. And so all this, the family friend, what he did is, let's say his name was John. John quit his job, told his family, I got promised a better position, and it was just word of mouth. And so when he quit his job, which was a good paying job, he chased after the other person, got there, and realized, hold on, all this talking that this other person was saying was all rubbish. And so when he got the job in the company, he had to start from very scratch. And so at that very moment, he's regretting, because he stopped pursuing his vision because he thought his vision was the long way and somebody else had a short way to getting there. And so by stop pursuing his vision, he pursued another person's vision, thinking that another person's vision would get him to the destination much quicker. But what it did, it got him to the restart plate. And he started back again. And we do this all the time. Why do we feel like other people are always doing better than what we are? This is something we experience all the time. Every time you decide to take a step and do anything, you always feel somebody else is doing it better.
That's because people are busy competing with other people.
Yeah.
And that is a problem. You know, you can't base your life on other people. You know, instead of you doing what John wants you to do, or you want to be successful as John, do what pleases you, because it's about you. You know, the road to success, I keep saying this, it's just a straight road. all you have to do is keep going. You don't cut corners. The moment you start cutting corners, you're cheating.
Yeah.
And guess what? It becomes harder. So if you want to get there, don't listen to John. You may try, and it's not working. Do something about it, because it's about you. We all have this day-to-day scenario where my friend would be, hey, I'm getting $25 here, $30 here, come over here. I may go, but that is not the job I want to do.
Yeah.
I was doing what makes me happy, what I was good at, but I was chasing the money. Yes, what I was doing, I was enjoying it. The money was coming slow, but that money is actually better because that's what I'm good at. You see, that's the mistakes we make in life. We want to be better than other people. At the end of the day, it's about you.
So then, if we go back to our original question, and the statement which we're discussing was the statement of, I would like to become a better person. And we hear this all the time. And individuals will come in and say, what can I do to become a better person? And the idea is, as humans, we think there is a formula to becoming better. Well, the first thing I want to question is, what is better and what is worse? I've had people come in and say, this is the better version of me, and this is the worst version of me. And a lot of females even say, they say, if you can't have me at my worst, you can't get me at my best. What's all this stuff? We create a duality inside our mind, like it's two heads fighting to manage or to reign in one brain. It's like we have two different opponents inside our head that we are battling against ourselves, but in two phases, in two opponents, and trying to win against yourself. How do you win against yourself? Can you even win against yourself?
I think it's important to, yeah, so that duality, that like good and then the bad, like on either ends, I think it's important to actually bring that together and understand, I guess, what those polarities are there for. Better or worse is up to how the individual thinks about, or what meaning the individual perceives it. Because my worst could be Cody's better, you know? And I guess it just depends on the person.
So you're saying that one person's worst could be another person's best. In what sense?
I guess the meaning they've put it in their head. I don't really have that, because I feel like if I perceive myself as better than before, then I've judged myself before. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that definitely makes sense, yeah.
And I'm also judging my better, like thinking that I'm superior to who I was before. And it's like, if someone else was going through what I was going through before, then I'm also judging that particular situation. Does it matter if it's me or not? Like, so I think it's important to just yeah, I guess how you use that concept, and I guess just understand the.
I think you actually hit a nail on the coffin on a couple of these statements that you made. And if I was to elaborate in what I was getting from it is, if you were to say, now I'm a better version of myself, then it's like you're saying at some point you were the worst version of yourself. And that also means that you hold a certain status which must have gone through a self-condemnation. You must have condemned yourself in a process of, I'm not good enough. Now you're saying, I might be good enough. And if we also hold that perception of ourselves like that, then we also hold it of another. So then you must see somebody going through the same thing you went through 2 years ago. And then you will say, oh, you're there? I used to be there. And now I'm better. And in a sense, without realizing it, you're judging another by comparing to a different state. Because I always like to say this. If let's say, for example, you have two individuals. One person struggles with anger. Another person struggles with managing money. The person that struggles with anger has no problem managing money. The person that struggles with managing money has no anger management problem. Well, you can't put those two through the same lens. Because if you put them through the same lens and you say, okay, let's put everybody in money management school. Well, the person that has no problem managing money is not really affected by it. But he's affected by anger. And so by comparing the two is already a mistake because they're not in the same category. And I think Albert Einstein said, the problem we have in this world, he said, is we try to judge a fish by his ability to climb a tree. And no wonder why our idea of success is all over the place is because we say the education system, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. If you don't fit A, B, C, D, E, F, G, then we categorize you as dumb. And so this has held back a lot of people from reaching their full potential. It really has, because we have yet to see someone's potential and we've already labeled him as where they fit at. And so I know we're going a little bit off the question, but it's still talking about the same thing of trying to become better. But before we can even think about bettering ourselves or making any improvements, we must realize what are the burdens, the mentalities, the perceptions that are anchoring us, that are holding us back. Because if you don't know what's holding you back, how do you step forward? How do I take a step forward if I know not what's holding me back?
Yeah, that reminds me of a quote I read. If one advances confidently in the direction of his dreams, and endeavors to live the life which he has imagined, he will meet with a success unexpected in common hours.
So what does that mean to you? If
success is very individual. It's just like salvation. Salvation is individual. You have a dream, you have a vision, and you aspire to be what you desire to be. And it's an individual path.
Yeah.
It's an individual path to obtaining wherever you want to be. And if you confidently chase after your dreams, you will be met with an unexpected success in common hours. So instead of like just trying to chase what you want, just be it. Be the thing you desire to be. And it will come.
And I think that's a beautiful way of saying it, and I always like to tell my story if it helps people. I remember there was a time where I couldn't find a job anywhere. I had the reputation, I had the degree, I had all this stuff behind me, but it was just a blank time where I couldn't find a job anywhere. And everyone would say, "Oh, Joe, we want you in a company. We want you. We want you." And I'll come in and they'll say, "Man, we'll let you know if you can start on Monday." And then they'll never get back to me, or they'll just disappear. And things weren't adding up. And I remember at that time, I had to give that situation a meaning. A lot would say, "Oh, I can't get a job. I'm jobless." I've never called myself jobless my whole life. Never. I remember what I did on that day. I sat down in my bed. I said, "There can only be one reason I can't get a job and I can't be hired. It's because I'm too expensive." And that's the meaning I gave myself. I said, "I'm too expensive for anybody to hire me now." And people say, "Oh, well, you're lying to yourself." Well, that's what got me here. Because the moment I changed the meaning to what the situation means in my head, because we see it all the time. We see someone might get an 8 out of 10 in an exam. Another person might get 9 out of 10. The person that gets 8 out of 10 throws a party. And we all say, "Well done, mate." The person that gets 9, he's very angry because he didn't get 10 out of 10. Well, he even did better than the other person. But the meaning that he had for that situation is what stopped him from rejoicing. And so I said, "Nah, no way. There is no way I'm going to call myself jobless. I'm going to change the meaning of this situation. And this situation means that I'm too expensive for anybody to hire me." Well, if I'm too expensive for anybody to hire me, then I must do something about it. Well, then that's how I started my business. That's how I started my company. Well, I went in, jumped into a couple of business schools, learned some stuff, came out of it, pursue. Well, out of nowhere, I got a big contract. And then when I'm standing in front of people say, "Oh, Joe, you started Benicia Robotics. How did you do it?" And this and this. I told people, it wasn't something that someone said, "You must go in this direction or this direction." I myself developed that reality and created that reality for myself. And the way I created the reality is by first changing the meaning of my circumstance, of my current situation. Well, somebody, if we start knocking on the doors and we say, "How many people are in debt?" People say, "Oh yeah, I'm in debt, I'm this, I'm depressed." Well, if you agree that depression is the state you're in, then there's nothing to do about it. But if you say, "This, I refuse to stick in this very state," and the idea is, it's that I'm not depressed, but depression is trying to hold me back. That's the idea. That's the meaning. Is stress is trying to pull me. Don't see yourself as your stress. See yourself as you're free. But stress is trying to pull you into the state of stress. And that changes the whole thing. Because if you see yourself as stressed, then you're fighting to get out. But if you see yourself that you are already out, like Cody was saying, you must be. And that's the key here. The key to becoming anything is to be. So you first must be, and then the rest must come. That's why it's called become. Be, and then it comes. People thought things must come first, and then I must be. Well, that's not what become is saying. That's come be. That's come be. The idea is not for something to come, and then I'll be. And then I'll feel like I'm successful. And then I feel like I'm making progress. And then I feel like my life is together. No. I first must feel like I'm already there. I must feel like I'm already there. There's some books there. I must feel like I'm already there. And if there's any obstacle, I must feel like the obstacle is trying to hold me back from something I already am. It's like if you're born into a royal family, you will not say, I'm trying to become a king. No, you are already a king. But and it's like the idea of the picture of Simba. It's like the Lion King, the story of Lion King has a similar kind of story of Simba and so forth. His destiny was already set, even though the way he lived his life with Pumbaa and so forth was not the way he's supposed to live. He already had the position that he needed to. It's not even that he needed to get to anything. He didn't need to get to anything because he was already destined to be king. His destiny was already in place, though his lifestyle didn't reflect his destiny. But his destiny was already in place. And so he wasn't trying to become, in a sense of trying to reach something outside of himself, but he was trying to unite himself with himself. And so then we must say,
what do you mean, unite himself with himself?
Well, like in Simba's reality, an old friend came back and, you know, urged him to go back to the kingdom. And said that, you know, just kind of reminding him that you belong there. And that was his reality.
Another way of seeing unite yourself with yourself is what we've been talking about, this duality we create in our minds of thinking my worst self and my best self are two different entities when they're really just one. It's the same way of saying uniting the heart and the mind, which are already one. And we always try to think there's a separation between the two.
Yeah, I remember a belief I had. It was when you unite the mind and the heart, you'll be thinking like God.
And that's actually true. Because it would take you back into the law of one. The original unity, where he said, let us make man in our image. And so the unity between the two is important. But then we must say this, we must ask and say this, and these are some factors that we usually tell people, and we say, this person is going through mind battles. This person is saying, my worst self, my best self. And so we look at this very person and we say, get yourself together. What does that mean? What does that mean to somebody to get himself together? And we say it like it's some, and usually when you say it to somebody, they physically try to like, let me control my mind to get myself together. And then we say to them, get your life together, man. What is that?
Oh, I don't know what that is. I don't say that.
Yeah. And
I maybe, you know, I'm just trying to like put that on myself. Get your life together.
And another one is control your emotions. As if emotions can actually be controlled.
was I going to... Someone who's experienced a situation and it had a large, maybe negative impact from their emotions of that situation, like, you know, being hurt or, you know, getting cheated on, how would someone overcome that emotion?
What we make a mistake is there is no emotion to overcome. Emotions cannot be overcome. Well, first we got to understand the idea of emotion is incorrect, because we think emotion is that feeling of negativity. No, there is no such thing as a feeling of negativity. It's two separate entities. There is the information that we perceive in a certain way and emotion on the other side, which is consistent. And so what is memory? Memory is emotion, which is feelings and so forth, multiplied by information. Well, your emotion is like an amplifier. It's consistent. It does not change. It's consistent. Wherever you put your focus on, it hypens it. It doesn't matter what it is. But what changes is how the information is perceived by the senses. And so the information section is what we have control of.
So saying like getting over a death of a loved one or someone like cheating on you?
Yeah. I've actually helped some people where they've experienced someone that's cheated on them, and this young lady was actually very excited. She said, "Lucky me, I escaped the bullet." And then I seen another person in a similar situation, and they said, "My life is over." And so I don't understand. One person said, "Lucky me, I escaped the bullet." Another person said, "My life is over. He broke up, he cheated on me, my life is over." And she complained and she cried and she said, the other person that said, "I escaped the bullet," was still sad, but it didn't have any toll on her. And I said, "Okay, what do you mean you escaped the bullet?" And she said, "Well, I was thinking about marriage. Luckily, I didn't end up marrying him, because then my whole life would be miserable." Well, then another person, still in the same situation, is crying day and night and wants the person back and said, "I know he cheated on me and this, that broke me apart." Well, nobody broke you apart. Because the idea is, when we come in a relationship, we expect something to be absolute. There's no such a thing as an absolute relationship. You will always be given opportunities to interpret things the way you want to do.
So how would you interpret a death?
Now, death is a tricky one, because it's a big topic as a whole, because yes, we must mourn, we might cry, we might rejoice. But usually when it comes to death, people change. I've seen people change their lifestyle, change the way they do life because a certain person has left. And the attachment they had to that certain person was too much. It's as if this person had full control of their life. Now, the whole idea when people cry and in death and stuff, and usually we start off good because we're appreciating the person and the legacy the person has left and the things they've done. But there's a thin line there where we are now mourning, not because of the person that passed away, but because of ourselves. I feel sorry for myself that the only person that understood me left. And people do that all the time, and we really deep down, and I've spoken to a fair bit of people, because when I'm counseling them and I'm helping them, we dig deep down to see what's really the cause of your sorrow. We see that the small percentage of it is actually the person that passed away, and the legacy they left, and the memories and so forth. The high percentage of it is to do with the meaning. What does that mean for me? It means I've lost my best friend. I have no one else to go to. It means the only person that, that I used to look up to. I have nobody else to look up to. It means that, and it's more selfish than we think.
Like a kid, even like saying, I've lost the person I've loved the most, or like I've I'm just trying to put that in perspective.
Now, here's the thing. Losing somebody is interesting because we all know for others to be born, others must die. And it sounds a bit harsh because I've experienced my cousin, my family members and so forth that have passed away. And I've been sad, I've cried as well and so forth. And I'm not saying, don't cry, don't feel sad, do all that. But there's a limit to how much sorrow you can carry. Because at some point, there's a thin line in which the sorrow is not even about the individual that passed away anymore. It's about more about you. It's okay, well, we've cried, we've lost somebody, then what? And that question of then what is actually very difficult. If you go to somebody that's been crying and depressing about someone that passed away 2 years ago and you ask them, now what? They'll get pissed at you.
Yeah, I mean, when you say it like that, it sounds like life is just self-resolving.
It is revolving. And we all know that. We lose, we gain. We gain, we lose. Life waits for nobody and it keeps going. We cry, we laugh. And the emotion, the states must keep going. It must keep flowing. Well, if I want to stick myself and keep myself in a state of sorrow, there's a problem with that. Because now I'm trying to hold on to a state. And usually whenever you try to hold on to a state, you're going against the law. A universal law. And when you go against a universal law, you attract more problems than you need. Because it's almost as if the universe will start bombarding you with issues until you can let go of that state. Because no man was invented to lock onto a state. And even those who are wealthy know this very well. I can be rich and have all these properties, I can lose it in one day. Napoleon Hill is one of the persons that did that. Napoleon became so successful in one of his books he writes how just in a split he just lost everything. But he gained everything. It's a wave. You must go up and down. You can't just pick. Because the idea is if I can just go to the peak of success and just stick there, I'm moving now. I'm consistent in the peak. It's the same idea of other people trying to go to the lowest of the low and stick there. I don't want to move now. I'm consistent in the low. Well, even the seasons don't do that. Even the seasons don't do that. We got spring, we got summer, and it continuously keeps going. It manifests itself differently every year, but it keeps going. You must keep going. The problem is not crying and feeling bad and so forth. If you've lost somebody, the problem is when are you going to decide to move? Are you going to lock on to that state? And I've seen people until this day, they're still using the excuse of because I've lost somebody 10 years, 20 years ago. I think, how come... Well, if my granddad was still here, well, you lost him 20 years ago. I've lost a granddad also. And so it becomes an excuse for not doing anything because I've lost somebody. Well, if we all looked at our loved ones that we've lost, because we've all lost loved ones, and nobody can say, my pain is greater than your pain. Even though that's what we try to do. We try to look at somebody and say, you've lost a loved one, but your pain is not greater than my pain. I feel it more than you feel it. We do that all the time. And it's not even with losing a loved one. We do it all the time. And one person goes to stress and he says, I've overcome stress. Another person goes to stress and depression and so forth and says, no, my depression is deeper. I was in a bus one time years and years ago, and these young girls were battling to see who's diagnosed with more things. I'm diagnosed with depression. I'm diagnosed with this. And I'm sitting there, I'm flabbergasted. I can't understand why this is a winning streak. Why are we contending to hold on to a state the longest? Why? Because a fair bit of that is to do with people trying to get to a point where we feel sorry. And it's a very interesting concept that I'm still thinking about. Why do humans want others to feel sorry for them? Why do we do that? Why do we do that? We wanna, and sometimes you know you might have the power to get yourself out of a situation, but no, I won't get myself out of that situation. I'll wait for somebody to see that I'm on my lowest.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of, 12-year-old me or something. Like, I'm just trying to, it was always seeking other people's attention.
Yeah.
Is what I could remember. What do you reckon?
Yeah. And it's a pretty common worldly thought. Thought in this world.
You use the other mic. I don't know what's wrong with that mic. Yeah.
Not so much. It is seeking attention, but I also, like, at the root of it, I think it's just someone crying out for love.
Yeah.
Like true love. You know.
And that's essentially.
Yeah. And like Yeah, I suppose, yeah, just looking for that love, but when they don't get the love, they try and form it for themselves or get this, like, needy love.
Yeah, and that's why they continue to seek attention, because it's, like superficial or artificial love, I could say.
Yeah, and you see that in a lot of relationships where one of the partners will say, love me now. Love me, show me that you love me, prove to me that you love me, and all these statements that I hear all the time, prove to me that you love me. What's that? What is that? Where do we get this stuff from?
The movies.
I was just gonna say the movies. Lay down your life for me.
And so I think this will be it for today. We'll continue tomorrow, and we'll continue from this slide, because there's a deep understanding behind these three quotes of that we say to people on a normal basis. We tell people to control their emotions. We tell people to control their mind. We tell people to get themselves together and control themselves. And we're going to really dig deep into this to see, is this even doable? Is this even a thing? Control your mind. How do you do that? A thought comes in and pops in. It pops out without your consent. It pops and it follows each other one after the other. The thought doesn't send you a request and you say, approve. And then he says, okay, I'm coming now. And then he's like, I'm waiting for you, thought.
What's going on in my mind? So there's waves, and you're catching certain thoughts, but you don't catch certain thoughts when you're riding a higher wave.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you rise again, and those thoughts that you were catching at this lower tide, you weren't catching at this higher tide.
Well, that's interesting, because you can be in the high waves and still catch low tide. Because you can shift from any states at any point of time. Cool. All right, that's it for today. And we will continue next week.